This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. It cost $14,000 for an American to have a hip replacement in Belgium, but in the U.S., it's closer to $100,000. Americans pay more for health care than people in most other developed countries, and health care costs have risen 700% in the past 30 years, except for the last year. Why does medical care cost so much? Is Obamacare going to change that? And why aren't market forces lowering those costs? Elizabeth Rosenthal is trying to find out what's going on. She is a New York Times correspondent. She's trained as a doctor, and she has been investigating the high cost of health care. She wrote the series Pain Till It Hurts. Today, she's giving a lecture, Medical Prices in the U.S., a Problem We Can't Ignore. It's scheduled for 5:30 at the UT Health Science Center Holly Auditorium on Floyd Curl Drive here in San Antonio. It's free and open to the public. It's also going to be streamed live online on nowcastsa.com. And one other note about this lecture tonight, the presentation meets the Texas Medical Board criteria for formal continuing medical education involving the study of medical ethics and or professional responsibility. So if you got to take care of that, tonight's a good time. So Elizabeth, thank you for joining us on The Source.
Oh, it's great to be here.
So you're writing, you've written, you continue to write about medical costs and what are we seeing? What's happening with medical costs?
Well, you know, they're plateauing a little bit in the United States. They're still going up, but they're not going up as fast as they used to.
Slowing the growth.
We are just slowing the growth. It's like a diet where we're not actually losing weight, but we're not gaining weight as fast as we used to be. So it's not really good news. It's just not really more terrible news.
All right. So this bottom line is right off. Why is it costing so much for medical care in the United States compared to other countries?
Well, all other countries except the United States have some form of price control, whether it's a national health system, whether it's nationalized negotiations or some kind of price setting. We choose to let the market determine prices, and this is a really flawed market. It doesn't work to keep prices down. Our healthcare system violates every rule of economics.
So what is the best country to look at for a comparison? Canada?
Well, you know, people talk about England and Canada, the UK and Canada, which are nationalized health systems, and say, we don't want that. That's not for the US. So I prefer really to talk about countries like Belgium or like Germany, where they have fee-for-service medicine, but it's fee-for-service medicine with set charges, where the doctors and the government and the drug makers get together and decide on a reasonable charge. We don't do that. And so what happens is, hospitals and doctors and drug makers charge what they can. Not all of them. There are many, many ethical people in the profession, but the people who are doing this as a business give it a bad name.
Okay, so I end up at a hospital. I have to have a procedure done. I go get surgery. I'm there for several days, and they come up with a bill. Right. I can't figure out that bill. It's crazy, and I may get multiple copies of it looking completely different each time. I don't know what I've paid for, what I haven't paid for, who's paying for what. Why is it so hard?
Well, every hospital determines its charges based on something called a charge master. Those charge masters are really, really hard to get. The only state that requires that they be publicly available is California. And if you get the California hospital's charge masters, they're 400 pages long. So they're useless for consumers.
So is that like a menu or something?
Well, it's like a menu, but it's not like a menu that a normal human being could read. It's written in medical code. So they take that charge master and add it all up and send you these ridiculous bills. The woman who I interviewed for the story on pregnancy, she gave me the nicest analogy. I said, so Renee Martin, is your pregnancy cost $35,000? So it's like going to a hospital with no prices. I mean, a restaurant with no prices on the menu. And she said, yeah, kind of. It's like a restaurant with no prices on the menu, except at this restaurant, you don't get to choose what you eat. And somebody else is always choosing filet mignon. And I think that's right, you know. So you see these bills, you're done with your illness, you should be concentrating on getting better. And, you know, you look, open your explanation of benefits, and it says, you know, $200,000. And you don't know what to make of that. You don't know, should I have paid that much? What did I pay for? Can you imagine if you renovated your home that way? It would make you nuts.
Well, but you're not renovating your home, because when you renovate your home, I can go out and get several bids. And then I can negotiate. I can say, well, you know, if I do the demolition, maybe I can save some money or other things. when you go to a hospital, frequently you have no choice in which hospital you go to because they maybe you got carted there by the ambulance or something. Right. And then, boom, it's off to the races, right?
Right. You have no choice. No one says, do you want a dermatology consult? No one says, do you want someone to check your high blood pressure? And at some level, that's right. You know, your primary care doctor or your admitting doctor should be organizing your care, but he or she frequently doesn't know what the hospital will charge you for what he prescribes. So, you know, when I was a medical student, we used to say for everyone, every hospitalized patient, every day, CBC with diff and electrolytes, you know, blood tests. Who knew how much that cost? Now, in most hospitals, that will cost about $500 a day for a test that has only marginal use. But the doctors don't know it's going to be charged that. And if you're the patient in the middle of your $200,000 bill, you're not going to pay much attention to a piddly $500.
Now, we market forces, you know, the invisible hand, competition, supply and demand, drive down prices. Why isn't that working?
Well, it's not a free market. You know, for a market to work, you need to know prices, which, of course, we don't know. Nobody knows. You need to have choice, which we don't have. And you need to have some kind of transparency. And you have to have a choice to go someplace else. So for certain kinds of procedures, in theory, we could have a market choice. When I get my colonoscopy, I could go to Dr. A or Dr. B. That's an elective test. But Dr. A and Dr. B in this day and age mostly can't tell me exactly what the full cost
of the doctors don't know how much it costs.
Doctors don't know. They know what their fee may cost, but that's negotiated with your insurer. They don't know how much the facility is going to bill. They don't know how much the anesthesiologist is going to bill. And I would say to doctors, at some level, that's no longer going to be a good excuse, because when your patient gets the bill and your fee is $500 and the anesthesiologist fee is $700, you know, they're going to come to you because they don't even know the anesthesiologist's name. So we have to start thinking about this as a society and as a profession. It's everybody's fault.
So it's not like getting my transmission rebuilt. I can go to several different garages and figure out who's going to give me the best deal. This is it's outside of what we would normally consider market forces. This is something completely different. And other countries have already figured this out, and so they've put in different sort of price controls.
They put in price controls, and they have bundled pricing. I mean, the thing you hear mostly with something simple like a colonoscopy is, you know, there are lots of different components to it. There's the doctor's fee. There's the anesthesiologist fee. There's a pathology fee. There's the facility fee. When I called a hospital in France to say, what's the facility fee for a colonoscopy, they were like, well, what's that? You know, this is – colonoscopy costs one thing. It is one thing.
All right. We're going to continue this conversation. We really want to get listeners involved in the conversation. Give us a call. Phone lines are open. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. Also email us questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. We're sitting down with Elizabeth Rosenthal. She is a New York Times correspondent. She's trained as a doctor. She's been investigating the high cost of health care. She is speaking this evening at 5:30 at the UT Health Science Center Holly Auditorium. This is the Source on KSTX. We will be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. You don't want to look at your hospital bill because it'll make you sick. The prices are incredible and mystifying and baffling, and it'll certainly make your brain hurt. That is something that we found out through the reporting and research of Elizabeth Rosenthal. She is a New York Times correspondent. She's trained as a doctor. She is giving a lecture to this evening on medical prices in the U.S., a problem we cannot ignore. Starts at 5:30 p.m. at the UT Health Science Center's Holly Auditorium, Floyd Curl Drive. It's free and open to the public. It's going to be streamed online at nowcast.com. And also, if you're a doctor and you got to meet requirements for your Texas Medical Board continuing education for ethics and professional responsibility, this will help take care of that. So, Elizabeth, we've been talking about this problem. It seems it's costly. It's costing the whole country a lot of money. Is this why we got Obamacare? Is that why they did this?
Well, even more than Obamacare, it's costing our whole country so much that if we paid as much per capita for health care as the second largest spender, which is Switzerland, we wouldn't have a national deficit. So, you know, this is having a huge effect on our country and individually. You know, medical prices are the main source of bankruptcy in the U.S. And Obamacare, yes, it's a good thing. It's a good thing to get more people with insurance. But Obamacare only peripherally deals with this issue of cost and pricing. That's the second step that we have to take now. Otherwise, this system is not sustainable.
Right. So Obamacare gives more people insurance. But there are people who say that because we have so much insurance that consumers really don't know the cost of getting health care, you know, say, sure, give me that titanium knee. Why not? You know, Throw in another one, too, while you're at it, because they're just going to pass the cost along to their insurance, right?
Well, the nature of insurance is changing a bit, too. I mean, now, including the Obamacare policies, all of our policies will have more co-pays and deductibles. So we're going to start feeling those medical costs a little more. And you know what? If your artificial knee costs $10,000 and you owe 10%, you might say, okay, that's reasonable. If it costs $100,000, as most do in the U.S. now, and you're out $10,000, you're not going to feel like that's so reasonable. So I think the direction this is heading in, we all better be engaged now because it's going to hit all of our pocketbooks.
If it's not already doing so.
And it is already doing so.
Okay, the number to call if you want to join the conversation, 614-8980. You could also email questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. Pat has called in. Pat, welcome to The Source.
Yeah, thank you. I was just listening to some of the information that you're sharing, and I wanted to share one of my latest experience, which has been very frustrating. I'm going through several medical treatments. I went to a local facility here where I had a biopsy done. And when I went in, I paid my $50 deductible. And next thing I know, I start getting bills in the mail for more deductibles for the guy who pulled the sample, the hospital who analyzed the sample. And it's just very frustrating because seems to me that it's almost like double or triple dipping for everyone. I tried contacting everyone, and of course, no one, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. And I like the sample that you shared, David. You know, it's like going to a mechanic. If the mechanic is doing the brakes and they have to take my rotors to a machine shop to fix them, that's their problem. They should, you know, they should pay each other and not have me go and pay each mechanic for what they do. Just wanted to share that.
Pat, thank you for your call. We appreciate it. So Elizabeth Rosenthal, New York Times reporter, what do you think about Pat's comments?
No, I think that's a great idea. And there are some insurers and some big companies that are doing something called they're doing bundled payments. So they'll say, okay, hospital, we're going to give you $23,000 for a hip replacement. You figure out how you do it, but this is the maximum we're going to pay. And they say to the consumers, if you want to go to a hospital that won't take that rate, you're going to pay the difference. Now, that's putting more of the burden on the consumer, but then the consumer can actually make that choice. So I think that's not, it's called reference pricing. That's one idea. There are a lot of ideas about how to solve this problem, and a lot of them would work, but we're doing none of them right now.
But we've heard that there's a shifting of a burden that so many people show up to the hospital, needed care, but they don't have any insurance. And so the hospital needs to collect on those procedures. And so the people who do have insurance end up paying for that. So I'm really not paying $100,000 for my knee replacement. I'm paying for the next three guys' knee replacement.
Right. And that was part of the idea behind Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, that there wouldn't be so many uninsured people, that hospitals would get reimbursed what they do. But what you find is that there is tremendous cost shifting, but there's no one having to say, well, this is why it costs $100,000. And you'll notice many hospitals are building new wings with all private rooms. You know, they have fancy lobbies. So how much do they really need to spend to give you the care you need? How much of that is cost shifting to pay for uninsured people? And how much is that to pay for medical care that we really can't afford?
Okay, more callers. Fred has called in. Fred, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'm a local physician, and I thank you very much for your comments. I'm sorry I'm going to miss your address this afternoon. What I'd like to know is what you think of the concept of primary care physicians, the doctors closest to their patients, being given money up front take care of their patients for a certain period of time and making both the medical and financial decisions for their patients' best interest.
All right, Fred, thank you for the call. And Elizabeth?
Yeah, I think that's another really interesting model that's being tried. It's called capitated care, where the primary care doctors do get a yearly payment for doing a good job of taking care with you. Now, care of you. That requires a lot of business skill on the part of the primary care doctors if they're an independent practice. But I think we're going to see a lot more of that as physicians join together in groups and with hospitals. But I think primary care doctors are generally undervalued in our system. Primary care salaries tend to be among the lowest in medicine. And I think they really will form a pivotal role in whatever we do going forward.
The caller, Bonnie, has called in. Bonnie, thanks for calling in. You're on the air. Welcome to The Source.
Thank you. I wanted to ask about, explain a situation I have recently. I broke my hand, my wrist, and I had to go to the emergency room, and I had to go to the orthopedic doctor, and I had to see him several times. He sent me for an MRI. He sent me for physical therapy. And nobody anywhere in this process has yet been able to tell me what is my 25% of this charge going to be.
Okay, Bonnie.
So I could know ahead of time if I could afford any of these things they were ordering.
Right. So Bonnie is operating in the dark. She's, you know, she didn't know what to do.
Yeah, and this is really terrible. We're telling people they should be better consumers, but we can't provide them with prices. In the series, the woman who was featured in the pregnancy story, she went to her hospital and said, what's it going to cost? And they said, somewhere between $4,000 and $45,000. Now, how can you make a responsible decision? The other thing I would point out with this caller, which is somewhat alarming, is, you know, broken wrists are fairly standard common injuries. You know, does a consumer know, did I really need an MRI? Do I really need all of this physical therapy? Those things are used much more in this country than anywhere else in the world, and broken wrists heal all over Europe just fine with much less money. So we're paying 25% of these high prices, and we don't know if we're getting better care.
So would single payer, if we went from Obamacare to a whole new system of having single payer insurance, would that make a change?
Yeah, it's certainly one of the ways to make a change. There's a question of whether that's acceptable in the U.S. and clearly
politically acceptable.
Politically acceptable. I think there's a feeling that it's not. But and I like to say there are many different solutions. Single payer would solve this problem, but there are other ways to solve it too. So, you know, I can't tell Washington what to do, but I can tell Washington, based on this series, that people are really suffering and confused and frustrated out there, and this system is not working to control costs.
But what about health outcomes? I mean, who cares if it costs more money if we're saving more lives?
Yeah, but no study has ever showed that what we do generally provides better outcomes. You know, broken wrists heal everywhere else just the way they heal here. What studies have shown with when they've been looked at side by side is we get a lot more done to us, but we don't turn out better for it. And I think patients are a bit responsible too. You know, we want more. If we go to a doctor and say, you know, this is bothering me, and he says, you know, that's probably like a hip strain. Wait 6 weeks and you can do this physical therapy on your living room floor. A lot of people are like, no, I want it. Aren't you going to check? Aren't you going to do an x-ray? And I hear from my mother, oh, he didn't do an x-ray. I'm like, good, you know. But I think, you know, we as medical consumers have to get away from our traditional more is better approach, or our recent more is better approach. It wasn't always that way.
Okay, another caller. Jonathan has called in. Jonathan, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. Yes, I just wanted to share an experience I had just recently in the last couple of weeks. My wife experienced some pregnancy complications, went to the hospital, ended up being admitted. She was in the hospital probably less than 12 hours. We ended up with a final bill of $16,000. Fortunately, we have insurance. The insurance negotiated and paid only $2,000. So I guess my question is, how can a hospital charge $16,000, ultimately take $2,000? I would also say that there were also things on that bill. My wife's also a physician that the hospital didn't even do. They hooked it up to a monitor and an IV drip, and that was it. Okay. So I guess my question is how the hospitals get away with that.
All right. Well, congratulations on the outcome. That's fantastic. But the bill, that's not the welcome delivery that the stork brought, huh?
No. And, you know, what I hear from patients is not I'm unhappy with my care. It's I'm unhappy with how it's being billed and the things that are being billed in my name. You know, 16,000 down to 2,000, not terribly uncommon. If you ask hospitals, well, then why on earth? They say, well, we never expect to get the 16,000. And you say, well, why would you bill that then? You know, how can you have a market-based system where you bill 16,000 and accept 2,000? So that, and that's part of the problem. Everything is this negotiation between our insurer and the hospital. And P.S., you know, as we heard from this caller, the patients often don't even know what's being billed in their name. The doctors don't know what's being billed in their name. So, you know, this is a really, really broken system. Imagine renovating your kitchen and being told, oh, it's going to, you know, would you accept an estimate of $100,000 if you knew it was going to likely cost $5,000? No, you can't. It's not a tenable way to do anything, let alone something life-saving and vital like monitoring a pregnancy.
Your lecture tonight titled Medical Prices in the U.S., a Problem We Can't Ignore. So we stop ignoring it, we're paying attention to it, and problem solved or what?
No, we have to make some really hard decisions now, which is, well, how are we going to solve it? You know, we're going to get everyone insured. That's a great thing. But are we going to move? There is America differs from every other country, every other developed country, in that every other developed country does something to regulate or set pricing. We're going to have to start doing that. I mean, I don't see a way around it. It could be market driven. It could be regulatory. We regulate electricity prices, so why not healthcare?
Especially healthcare, because our lives depend on it. Yeah. All right, Elizabeth Rosenthal, she is a New York Times correspondent. She's trained as a doctor. She's investigated the high cost of healthcare. She wrote the series in New York Times, Pain Till It Hurts. She is speaking tonight at 5:30, lecture, Medical Prices in the U.S., A Problem We Can't Ignore, at the UT Health Science Center Holly Auditorium, live streamed online at nowcastsa.com.